Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Massimo Di Marco, VP of Engineering and Product at Depop. Great. So, obviously, there's quite a lot I want to get stuck into with, but I think it'd just be quite interesting, I suppose, to take a kind of a step back and think about how you first originally got involved in technology. And where that kind of first love came from for you.
Yeah, interesting. So I have to go back in time a little bit. I guess it was back in uni in Italy when I started to get into software more than kind of theoretical studies. And then back in 2006, I found first job. It was a software house in Bologna. And I think that's when the love started, I guess, because this company was essentially touching so many different areas and so many different technologies that I had the opportunity to learn so many things. I always say to everyone that 5 years there were like 15 years in the industry, so that was quite good, yeah. And then back in around 2009, I became passionate about mobile technologies, and so I started building my own apps back in Italy on iPhone and Android. And then in 2011 I moved to UK, so and now I'm here.
Fantastic. It was really that kind of first hands-on experience. I'm not a developer by any stretch of the imagination, but I've actually been starting to try and learn bits and pieces, and it's one of those things where I find it's not necessarily like the actual learning process. I almost find that it's one of those things where you just kind of have to throw yourself in the deep end, and just go for it, right? And just learn from your mistakes, and just just keep kind of plugging away. But
yeah, absolutely.
But the difficulty is actually finding like what technologies to start to learn, or like what languages to start to learn, and that for me is like the hardest thing to kind of figure out initially, because there's just so much to potentially look at.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's absolutely right. It's actually an interesting coincidence, because we have a couple of interns at Depop at the moment. And they asked the very same question. They said, where do I start? And so my advice to kind of young engineers is to try everything. I think, if you start from back end and move on to web and then mobile, then you'll see enough to make your decision on what you actually like, which is one of the things that I think are the main strength of a market like Italy. In Italy, there are not many specialists. You have to be more of a generalist, and you have to be able to kind of put your hands pretty much anywhere. which was the main difference that I found when I moved here. So here in UK, instead, you have to be a specialist. But I guess for young engineers, it's all about understanding what you enjoy the most and what you're good at by trying. You're absolutely right. So
yeah, interesting. And has
I suppose the move when you initially went over to the UK, what was, just out of curiosity, I suppose, but what was the level of technology or the standard of technology? Was it much different, or was it just, as you say, it was kind of, there was more specialists versus generalists? What was kind of the biggest difference?
Yeah, I think in Italy, technology tends to arrive a little bit later, probably 2 to 5 years later. So I think that's one of the main reasons why I decided to move. I wanted to do mobile, and I think the Italy was not ready at the time. And also there was not much perspective for growth professionally. So I think when I moved, it was mostly that, the fact that UK was trying to expand on the mobile space much more than Italy. I think UK is a lot closer to the US from that perspective, in terms of innovation, in terms of new technologies.
Right. Interesting. And
although US is still kind of a different planet, I think.
and kind of with that regard, you talk about getting involved in mobile. You know, was mobile, 2011, it was still relatively new as far as applications. You know, we've only really been looking at apps for, I don't know how many years, not that long really, since the kind of the iPhone was when the explosion came up. So you still, even though you came from Italy, you still must have been a relatively early adopter to have already, you know, acquired the skills that you needed to develop apps. So you talk about, you know, like UK being ahead, but you must have been, you know, way far ahead of Italy in the direction that you were thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So when I started was 2009, and the company where I worked didn't have any capacity to invest on mobile, so I started doing my own studies and kind of development at home after work. So kind of quite challenging, but it was very rewarding, because actually one of the apps that I built was mentioned in a few magazines in Italy, and it was funny because at the time the app store was pretty much empty. There were like very few apps, so it was a lot easier to kind of build your name. I think that you're right. That's quite an interesting perspective.
Was it just out of pure curiosity, for the love of kind of technology and learning something new, that you decided to, you know, pursue, learning mobile? What was kind of the thought process there? Was it just, like, as you say, you just were genuinely interested to see?
I guess it was a mix of curiosity, a mix of a passion, but also a strategic decision. Because it was very clear in my mind that desktop was going to kind of decline gradually. So I think it was a more strategic decision as well. How do I get to kind of a bigger market, a bigger stage quicker? And I think mobile was the perfect choice at the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly paid off. And, and now you're working in a kind of high-level position, which is, is it VP of engineering, your official title, or?
Yeah, actually recently became VP engineering and product, so more responsibilities.
Well, I mean, product's an interesting one. But before we kind of get into that, I also wanted to ask about that kind of transition, you know, from obviously being someone who's motivated, a technologist has learned and acquired the skills, you know, clearly talented at that, to the point now where you have to actually lead a team of engineers hold that responsibility. And what was that transition like for you?
So I think technologists can usually choose a couple of different paths. At some point, you become an expert on a specific domain or a specific area, and you tend to specialize more, maybe move towards more architecture kind of focused roles. What happened to me was different. I realized that I was learning one technology after the other, And I was becoming very good at each of those technologies. But at some point, I was like, okay, I'm bored. I want to learn a new one. And this pattern started to kind of recur. At some point, I realized, you know what? I'm more interested in working with people and teams. And that's a lot more challenging. You can learn a technology, you can master it, but you cannot really, predict how people are going to behave or things like that. So all these topics around leadership management started to kind of grow in me. And I think, it's a lot more rewarding as well. So that's why I decided to choose this path, a few years ago. This took me here now.
Interesting. So you say that it was kind of more rewarding, to see, people succeed. It's interesting, but I do hear that a lot. And I think it's only surprising to hear that to the individuals who do pursue management, and especially people who pursue management for a role that they actually enjoy themselves, like someone in your position. But it is interesting that a lot of people do say that. Excuse me, more fulfilling to witness people, have success in their roles. Led by yourself, so
I think technology is easy quotes because it's something you can learn, but working with people, getting the most out of people is something extremely challenging. There are ups and downs. Sometimes you're like, I don't want to do this, but actually seeing people growing, seeing people realizing their potential and becoming better and better at what they do is something extremely, extremely rewarding.
I think a lot of technology employees, not too long ago, they weren't the product. They weren't the kind of the face of the business. Now, you are the creatives, you are the people who are, the actual product itself.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I was actually reflecting on the other day. Product management is such a relatively new role in the industry. If you think about it, up until, like you said, probably 10, 15 years ago, companies used to decide what products were needed on paper, work on project requirements for 6 months, 1 year, and then send it to the developers, developing for 1 year, and then QA and back and forth. And then it took them like 2-3 years to deliver a piece of software. And I guess at the time it was okay because, there was no competition. The technology was super expensive and that was okay, right? So there were only big players. By some point with the cost of technology going down, like, Amazon AWS or Google Compute, all these things, anyone can build a product. So I think that's when things started to shift and focus on what customers really need. There's no prescribed solution to this question. What do they need? How do you know, right? So it's all about a short feedback loop, understanding their needs, experimenting ideas, testing solutions, and see what comes out of that. And that's when that role, the need for that specific role, started to appear in the industry. You need somebody who represents the customer in the company, within the company, and align business goals with user needs and, delivery and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a very immature role at the moment in the industry. I think it's going to take some time to kind of establish. Every company you go, they have a different interpretation. Some companies have product managers who effectively are just doing project management. They're looking after delivery. Some companies have product managers who are more of a kind of analyst, only looking at numbers. My interpretation of this is a combination of more or less everything, including technology. You cannot be a successful product manager in the software space if you don't understand technology. So I think it's a combination of all these things, including user experience.
Yeah. And do you see that a lot of hires are made from product managers that don't tick all these boxes? I don't know. Is it pretty common where you don't see someone who kind of encapsulates the the criteria?
It's really hard to find the perfect fit, because everyone has a different background, and depending on what companies you worked in, you acquire different skills or different expertise, and maybe your expertise is heavier on project management or on I don't know, product analysts or even in design. So it's very hard to find somebody who kind of has enough of all of it. But what I try, what I find more challenging is letting people understand that they need to shift their mindset and kind of forget what they learned in other experiences in the past. Yeah, and try to embody the customer, essentially.
Right. It's interesting. It's very interesting because, as you say, it's a unique skill set that you need to be really three things. You know, you have to be kind of have great people skills, have good, you know, fundamental understanding of business goals and business outcomes and what steps you're working on to achieve those goals, and obviously the fundamentals of technology. And, you know, that's three different jobs in one. So it's as you say, exactly. It must be extremely difficult to, you know, to find that the person who is, you know, all three of these things. It's
yeah, and stakeholders management, communication, you know, all these things are very challenging. And understanding the user experience that is optimal to solving that problem. So, you know, it effectively, I see this as a leadership role, because it's all about putting together the subject matter expert in technology, user experience design, visual design, analyst, and solve a problem together. So you need to understand a bit of everything and also be a leader, which is, you know, is not trivial.
Yeah, I can imagine. And which three things, I suppose, if we call them these three things, which three things have you found the most challenging, and which three things, and which out of the three things have you kind of enjoyed the most?
I don't think I would choose necessarily one. Or I think, again, the challenge is combining the all of them together, yes, and trying to find the right balance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. And what is it now? You're obviously working at Depop. You know, what is it, I suppose, within technology or just within your role in particular? What's next? What is it that you're kind of striving for now, and what is it that is sort of keeping you engaged and motivated?
Yeah, so I still, believe it or not, I still find some time to experiment. I think it's absolutely necessary in my role, because technology evolves so quickly that if you disconnect for too long, then you're out. You know, it's impossible to stay ahead of the game. So you have to choose carefully. You're absolutely right. You cannot put your efforts into things that are not in the future, right? So what I'm doing at the moment is mostly focused on machine learning and deep learning technologies and techniques, which is very much in line with the ambitions we have at Depop of building a very smart product and platform, along with all the scalability issues of, you know, big data and everything else related. So I try to focus whenever I have time to on these two areas, as I think it's basically the future.
But is it always quite challenging sometimes about where to put your efforts into what's coming next? Because there's never a guarantee that that's necessarily going to be a hit or be the thing that is next. You can obviously have a good, you know, a good sense for what that is, but obviously, you know, you don't want any kind of, you know, time, you know, wasted on things that may or may not be valuable. So
absolutely, I think the key from that perspective is to stay as agnostic as possible to the implementation. For example, if you want to focus on machine learning, then you shouldn't learn one technology. You shouldn't learn only TensorFlow, for example. But you should look into machine learning as a discipline and then trying to apply different with different tools, with different frameworks. For example, you know, I've been looking into TensorFlow, Spark, MXNet, and you know, if one of these technologies doesn't kind of take off, then you still have the understanding of the domain. And also you have more frameworks that you can kind of rely on.
Are you still really just as excited about what you're doing now as you were, you know, potentially when you first started?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, different challenges, different motivation. But I think the excitement is very high, especially for the challenges we have at Diebold, and also for everything that's happening in the technology space. If you think about, for example, iOS 11 and Android O, that will allow to embed machine learning models and work offline to make predictions, that's a game changer in a lot of applications. Not to mention augmented reality and all this kind of stuff. So that I think it's probably one of those times where things will move in a specific direction, and so there's a lot of excitement around.
I agree. I think it's a fascinating time to be, you know, involved in technology as you are, and I'm sure that you'll continue to work on, you know, great projects, I'm sure you'll continue to learn, which I suppose is probably the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
Massimo, thank you so much. I will leave it there. I don't want to keep you for too much longer. So thanks for so much for taking the time, mate. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.